Austin, welcome back. It is Super Bowl week. Can you believe we're here?
Ooh, it feels like just yesterday. Yeah. It was last year, so we're back again.
Yeah,
back again.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all the effort and time you put in with me during the NFL season, and it's all come down to this. We'll be discussing the Super Bowl coming up here soon, but I got to start off with, because we talked about it all season, Brian Schottenheimer named the new OC of the Dallas Cowboys. I want Mr. Dallas Cowboys' thoughts on this. Are you anticipating better offense, same offense, or worse?
You can only look at it as an improvement. Kellen Moore is a great offensive mind, but after that amount of time, you kind of know what you expect.
Yeah.
So it's time for fresh blood, and we have to admit, Brian Schottenheimer, I mean, man, you could not have picked a better guy to come in for that, because, I mean, hopefully he develops Dak.
I know you were leaning Kingsbury, but it looks like he's going to maybe be going to the Texans. Would you rather have Kingsbury or Schottenheimer?
I mean, okay, Schottenheimer, you have that history. You have that pedigree. Kingsbury, you kind of have that hit or miss. And plus, we've never seen him as a true OC in this space. So we'll see. I think that that's going to be, he'll probably do very well because it'll be one less thing off of his plate. In the long term, we'll see. I think for this right now, though, I think Schottenheimer will get the most out of Dak since he's a more of a traditional style quarterback.
Sure.
I think the Chargers might be in more trouble than we thought, though, getting Kellen Moore.
Well, I think Kellen Moore could be that future head coach. So it's a good chess move for him to go over there, because I feel like if they struggle, it's not going to be put on him. It's going to be put on the head coach, which leads, if the offense plays well, he could be in line for that next head coaching position. So I looked at it as a chess move. I was like, oh, that's a good spot to go to, because Staley's already on the hot seat out there.
It is. And also the best thing about it is you can definitely say one thing. Jerry Jones does not do his coaches dirty. That's the one thing you can say from that.
He doesn't. If Jerry Jones was one of those panic guys, McCarthy would have been gone last season. But I think I think McCarthy's got a good grip on that team now. I feel like his image, that strength, that toughness showed. And I mean, because if only they could have caught a break in that 49ers game with the 49ers losing their quarterback in that game. I
looked at that. I was like, man, we couldn't have knocked out their quarterback a week earlier. Come on.
I don't know if the result of the game would have been any different against Philly, because I just think they're just flying high. No pun intended. They just make more plays than the other team right now. I mean, but they caught a break with the quarterback going down for sure.
I mean, they made it where they essentially were on a fourth string quarterback. He gets hurt. You have no quarterback. I mean, that script played out way too well for them on that. I mean, and then on the flip side of it, you look at Cincy going up against the Chiefs.
I got a lot of thoughts about that, because it reminded me of the end of the Super Bowl last year when the Rams started getting those calls when they needed it on that drive. Yeah. Didn't it kind of remind you about that? Like, it was like, oh, every time the Chiefs needed it. Now, I'm not screaming conspiracy. I'm just saying.
Rangers, get out of there.
I'm just saying, for the common eye, it just looked like they were kind of pushing the Chiefs along.
Well, it wasn't just kind of. It was pushing them along. And it was just like one of those, you're going, guys, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, and then it was one thing after another, and it was just like, okay, dominoes play perfectly in some scenarios, but this was way too much for that.
I mean, they it was an assist. I mean, that roughing the quarterback out of bounds. I mean, my personal opinion on that, like, I feel like that will get called 90% of the time. I just hate when a game, especially of that magnitude, comes down to something like that, where that dictates things.
And that wasn't even the thing that got me, because that was like, okay, that's roughing the passer. He was kind of going down already, but okay, we'll call it. But it was the drive before that, the holding, wasn't. It was like, we're looking at the Rams-Saints game from a few years ago all over again.
So and they just get a whole new play.
And it was just like, this doesn't, that shouldn't have happened at all.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, coulda, woulda, shoulda, where we're at, I will say this. I think the Bengals next year are going to be scary.
I do too. Bengals, to me, are the – they should be in the Super Bowl, in my opinion. That play where they were like, oh no, they get a whole nother third down, even though they stopped them. And then that result.
Me and you are on the same page with that. I mean, everyone can say what they want. I know Chiefs fans are going to say one thing. Bengals fans are going to say another thing. But as unbiased opinion, that was some of the most interesting plays I've seen.
Exactly. It was. Yeah.
I mean,
and I just feel bad for the Bengals, man, because they were right there. They were right there.
Ranger, stop. Yeah, I mean, it was right there, and you never knew what was going to happen. And now you're at that point where you're looking at it and you go, okay, we now are at here where we have the Kelce Bowl. We have Andy Reid going up against the Eagles. But before we can dive into that, we got to admit, like, did anyone see Sean Payton going to the Bucs? I mean, the Broncos? Like,
yeah, I mean, that is correct. But for the draft capital and everything, that is crazy. And before we get into that, I just want to say one thing, because Tom Brady has finally called it a career after all these years, which he maybe went 1 year too far, but at least he got to do it on his terms. Is he the best quarterback, in your opinion, of all time?
Man, I mean, okay, if you're talking about from winning a Super Bowl and that is what you go by, yes, hands down. Is he the most prolific passer of all time? I think he is in the conversation. I think he's definitely in the conversation of, like, taking care of his body and the longevity of it.
Longevity, for sure.
And I just look at it as a whole. And, I mean, even in this last year, could you – I mean, you can't really say it was all on him, because if the Bucs' offensive line is different than what it was
– Agreed.
That's another conversation you probably see at least another year out of Brady, and it wouldn't surprise me if he pulls Brett Favre and somehow comes back at a team.
He filed his paperwork today, so he's requested the time. I don't think he's going to do it. I think he knows he got a lot of shit for that this year. I think he knows that. But like you said, like, the offensive line to me was everything. Like, it showed.
Yeah.
And I think he knew that. I think he finally saw the writing on the wall. He was like, look, the offensive line, unless I have the top offensive line, I'm going to struggle, because you can't, and the way the NFL is now with favoring offenses to move around and they favor mobile quarterbacks and everything, it was time to wrap it up. I mean,
Brady had a hot take about it too, and it was the fact of the matter that nowadays in the modern NFL, you're getting to a point to where it's all offense and your defense, there's no consequence. And I really, really appreciated his take on it, because he referenced Ray Lewis. He's like, as a quarterback, I knew I could not throw the ball in the middle. Otherwise, Ray Lewis was going to lay my guy out of the game more than likely, and it was game over. And now you look at it and you go, okay, you can still get a good hit, but it's nowhere near as, for lack of a better term, violent as it used to be, and the violence is almost getting taken out. And I look at it and I just think about it, and I look at it and go, football is a violent game. We've always known it. The technology has come there to where you can have the violence that you need to have to make a game very defensively struggle and an offense struggle, but you need to put it together now and make it where some rules are taken away from the offense, put in place for the defense, and just develop the game a little more.
Yeah. Even as a diehard Bucs fan, can we both agree that he will be signing a one-day contract, I think, with Kraft and the Patriots and retiring, because he is New England at the end of the day. We were his sloppy seconds. We'll take the championship. We'll take the ring he got us, but he is a Patriot as far as I see him.
Here's my question. Will he be in the Ring of Honor for you guys and the Patriots?
Yeah. Yes. The way Tampa is down there, the way they treat him, the way they did the ceremony videos and everything, Tom Brady's name will be, if he didn't win a ring, it would be like Joe Montana with the Chiefs. Remember that? Where he kind of went there, got close. But I firmly believe if Montana was able to win a championship with the Chiefs, he'd be on the wall too. He's going to, if it wasn't for the ring. But since they actually did win, Tampa has a way of putting players on there to magnify things. for better or for worse, he's going to replace John Gruden's name, who they took down after the scandal broke and all that. And it was right in the middle of cancel culture. So
they should have never taken it down.
I agree.
That's another story.
What's done is done. Yeah, I completely agree. What's done is done. Yeah. So back to Sean Payton. Yeah. So real quick, Tom Brady, I love you, man. I hope you enjoy retirement. Enjoy making $400 million for Fox News and the TV 12 brand. You're good to go.
And hey, you have a great new girlfriend.
Yeah.
That you can arguably say will not cheat on you, unlike Giselle has, yeah. That is confirmed.
Yeah.
And we can move on with the rest of our lives, and hopefully you can have another nice family and some kids.
So my final, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., I salute you. Thank you for the championship. Thank you for 3 great years in Tampa. Now it's back to top draft picks for Tampa Bay, because I don't see us doing anything for the next couple of years.
Well, okay, I'll put an asterisk here. I'm happy as a Cowboys fan to be his last loss. It was revenge. It was bittersweet, but it was revenge.
Yeah.
But that's true. I won't be surprised. Did you see a Derek Carr going to Tampa?
I could see it. I could see it. I could even... Now, here's a hot take. Aaron Rodgers to Tampa.
I think he would more likely go to Tennessee than Tampa.
Yeah, but I'm just saying...
This will be This is an after Super Bowl conversation.
Exactly. Yeah, that's an after Super Bowl conversation. So, back to Sean Payton. Wow. Did you see that coming?
I mean, once we saw the smoke starting to come out, I was giving us some thought. I looked at it, I was like, he could, but it doesn't. I mean, you're walking into a situation where literally at the opening press conference, he said, by the way, Russell, your whole team that you bring with you is kicked out of the building completely. Yep. You go, whoa.
Yeah. Establishing dominance.
Did anyone really know that Russ had his own team in the building the whole time?
Yeah, I didn't know he had the Tom Brady thing or his own personal. It works if you're winning. Like, you're allowed to do it if you're winning, but they were even, so bad last year.
Even then, like, TB12 is a totally different aspect than this. This is just, look at me. The other side of it is it's performing well, it's looking good, and it's at that level. Mm-hmm. So...
I fully am seeing a good bounce back next year. I really am. I think he's going to bring in Michael Thomas, given another wide receiver, whether he plays the full year or not, I don't know. But I could see Sean Payton's going to bring in some players in there that normally wouldn't be there had the Broncos not hired him. But Sean Payton knows enough around the league. He knows who to go after. So I think they're going to tighten up. Sean Payton knows how important offensive line is. Remember when you chatted Jimmy Graham? To bring in the boy from Seattle, he's going to put those pieces in place. I think he's going to spark a confidence in Russ that he didn't have last year. But I tell you what, if it doesn't work, he's not going to get a second year at Russell, that is. I think next year is it. Yeah, I think, and talk about how quick shit changes on you. But I fully expect them to be in the mix. But in that division, bro, when you got Mahomes, and then you got Herbert, and then possibly Aaron Rodgers, possibly somebody new there. Denver's got an uphill climb ahead of them. But what the NFL shows us every year is transparency. First the worst the first, that whole nine.
Well, I mean, you possibly, the after Super Bowl podcast where we go into depth about every single trade rumor and everything else. Yeah,
that's what the NFL does.
It's going to be spicy to say the least. Yeah. I'm very looking forward to doing a recap of the Super Bowl next week and starting to dive in on that, because the stuff that's flying around, quiet rumors in Dallas that no one's really talking about, is a massive.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And I will say, out of all the sports, the NFL is the elite with keeping their name in the headlines throughout the entire offseason. You can have guys practicing in their underwear be primetime TV. Just the practice and the draft combine and all that. They know what they're doing there. Their marketing department is genius.
Oh, yeah. Especially when it looks like you have Magic Mike just walking out going, hey. Yeah. But.
So do you foresee the Broncos improving next year?
Let me wait till next week, because I've got to do some deep dives on some stuff with that. I think that head coach, you definitely got a major upgrade.
I agree.
And you really needed it.
I agree.
You massively needed it. Considering the fact of the matter, I had to sit through the Broncos on a cruise ship watching the worst game of football of all time.
Was that the Colts game?
Yes.
Yeah, that was bad.
Forever and always. If I see the Broncos on TV, I want you to lose because of that game was so bad.
And it's sad, too, because they have such a good logo and they have such a good and rich history. It was that bad last year. How does a professional football team look that bad? A professional.
Look at the Cowboys in the late 80s. We'll teach you a few things.
Sure. All right, another thing before we get in. This is leading us into the 57 talk. Patrick Mahomes wins MVP. Deserved? Or, no, do you think it was deserved, or do you think it should have won somewhere else?
Well, okay, let's break it down. Let's break it down.
Led the league in passing.
He led the league in passing. Defensively, you didn't have a defensive player that could really truly be in the running. You had some close ones, but not that close.
Chris Jones showed up in big moments, but not throughout the season.
Yeah. Right. And then you look at it and you go, okay. You look at it and you say, all right, let's look at this from an offensive standpoint. Did anyone have a super breakout year? Mm-hmm. Answer is no.
No.
Then you look at it and you go, okay, quarterback-wise, who was in the running? Okay, Burrow.
Hurts.
And Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, you couldn't put him in the conversation.
Yeah, as much as you wanted to, I know I love him, but as much as I wanted to, he was just too up and down at times.
He really was. Mm-hmm. And then the standpoint of, you looked at it and you go, okay, you could have put Kelce in the conversation.
Yeah, easily. But tight ends don't get that kind of love like that.
Right. But then you look at it and you go, okay, let's develop this out a little further. First half of the season, it was Hurts. Mm-hmm. Second half, Mahomes. Mm-hmm. What do people pay attention to more and what is more vital?
Sure.
Well, and then you put Burrow in the conversation. Burrow and Mahomes, toward the end of the season, had such a pronounced battle. And then I really think that AFC Championship kind of decided that vote on that.
Yeah, I'm calling him right now that Burrow's going to win MVP next year. But I think,
oh, he should.
I think the biggest factor to me is, in terms of just one player, right? Think about it like this. So Mahomes won by subtraction. Hurts won by addition. A.J. Brown helped his case, right? Because A.J. Brown made what? Sorry, Tennessee Titans fans. I know that one stings still. It still stings here in Nashville. And ever since that Eagles game, everything's fallen apart. You got to remember, who did Mahomes lose in this offseason? Who they thought was the whole offense? You lose Tyreek Hill, and you still lead the league in passing into a 14-3 record. And then,
start eight rookies on top of all.
Exactly. And then you had your receiving core was up and down. No real dominant number one. And then the way Andy Reid is just smart. And that, I'm going to get into that when we talk about the Super Bowl. I think that could be the X factor, just him having different dink and dunks, because they're going to attack A.J. Brown. But to me, when I thought about it after they gave it to Mahomes, I was like, he did more with less.
He really did. And you look at it and you kind of look at it from the standpoint of, okay, Burrow is the closest thing that we have to a modern day Brady.
And Montana, he's like that combination of both, where he's cool and collected, but he's smart. He knows where to go. He knows that. And the receiving. Now, let me challenge you on that. Say they lose Chase or they lose Higgins anywhere. Do you think he still has dynamic?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's just a good quarterback. Yeah.
The reason being is, I know Patrick Mahomes, I know Burrow, and I know the guys that have coached around him and played with him. Mm-hmm. And both of them have the same aura around them where it's like, okay, we might be down 30 with 2 minutes to go, but we can win it. They're that kind of quarterback.
Sure.
And that kind of quarterback is very, very rare in the league. Josh Allen does not have that factor.
I know. As much as I want him to, he doesn't.
He doesn't. And in the AFC, you look at it all. I mean, the NFC, you look at it all and you go, okay, Jalen has that. Dak.
He's shown signs of it.
Yeah, he should.
Dak and Josh Allen, you can put in that same category where at moments are brilliant, but then usually when it comes down to it, they get too sloppy or careless.
Right. And then you go, okay, Rodgers had it. Mm-hmm. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
But he had it. And then you kind of go through the other divisions and you go, okay, Brady had it. Mm-hmm. But as current right now, that list is so small and so tight. I mean, Purdy has it. If he doesn't get injured, I think Purdy has it.
Yeah.
But that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
So it's just, we got to see where it goes. So.
And that's what I love leading into the main topic of this episode. All right. So let's go. You know the drill. Let's do it. Let's get going on this. So here we go. So am I talking about what we were just talking about? You have these two squaring off, and I hate to say conspiracy, but I think this is what they were kind of pushing. They want Jalen Hurts, the up-and-comer. Now, let me tell you something about Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. I'm not a big Eagles fan. I have a lot of family from Philly. I have a lot of diehard Eagles fans in my life. I don't actively root for the Eagles, but the more I've studied and the more I've kind of looked up Jalen Hurts, he is hard not to root for, man. He's just a good dude. Everything that I see that he does, he's transcending. He has that all-female marketing staff that he heads his team up. They asked him a question about criticism, and he's like, I've had my path and my purpose long before the criticism. What do you want to do through Alabama losing it to Tua? Go into Oklahoma, putting up big numbers, getting into the NFL behind, he was behind Carson Wentz, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Wasn't he behind Wentz at the time?
And he got dogged for there. So I love seeing what he's doing. And then he's playing Mahomes, who I'm going to have a hot take on him, but I want to hear your thoughts to start off this portion of the episode. Super Bowl 57, 14-3 versus 14-3. First time ever number one pass offense versus the number one pass defense. Eagles led the league in sacks by a lot. And here we are. I know. Exactly. In one game, does it really matter? But now I want to give it to you. What are your initial thoughts on Super Bowl 57?
So, all right, we're going to kind of dive into some nitty-grittiness here because people are not going to like my hot takes for a minute on both sides. So, the biggest thing that Patrick Mahomes had going against him last year was the aura around him and Jackson Mahomes. Honestly, it was Jackson Brittany.
Yeah.
What have been the two things that no one has talked about and have not busted through this year?
Those two. To keep Jackson Mahomes quiet and shut up as he should, Mahomes must have put him down and be like, listen,
you can put the thing that both me and you talked about last year that was the Chiefs' biggest problem and came up and we said, hey, this has got to be dealt with.
Yep.
It's been dealt with.
It's clearly been dealt with because I haven't heard a hint. And that's a dude that loves attention.
It's been crickets.
Crickets.
Which is great.
Which is a testament to the Mahomes crew, what he has, that they were able to keep that without even one single incident. So I got a lot of respect for that because he clearly put his foot down.
Now, on the counter side to that, the biggest thing that Hurts had was, hey, he's not a passer.
Yeah.
He's a running quarterback, not a passer.
A system running quarterback, yeah.
Well, the system caught up with him, and he's now developed into that next step to where he's getting to where he can be a little bit of a passer. Sure. I'm not going to say he's a prolific, hey, drop back, five steps, boom. But he's getting there. He's developing, which is sophomore season, we can arguably say as a starter, he's excelled well.
The key now, to the Eagles is that offensive line. That cannot be overstated. That offensive line is dominant.
So we look at the next step here. The next step is who are their drop-down guys? We have Travis Kelce on one side, and arguably you have another Kelce on the other side that you can arguably say is Hurts' number one guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what's Eagles' fourth down go-to play? Fourth and one.
Either quarterback sneak or hit the tight end.
It's a QB sneak every single time. And that's the one thing that's going to bite them in this game. So here's something that's a spicy take. Andy Reid. Andy, my boy, what is the one thing you have looked at more than anything else? It's film.
Yeah.
If you look at all the film that has gone on, Jason Kelce, the reason why the sneak is so good is you're keeping the ball. He's literally holding it right, like this is his butt. He's holding it right here as he's diving through. Hurts never holds the ball until he's through the pile. Mm-hmm. So technically, I wouldn't be surprised if this happened. If the refs called, hey, cancel it. Back it up 10 yards.
Yep.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think that'll bite him once in this game.
I hope the refs don't put their finger on this game too much, but I also don't want it to be like last year.
I think this game in particular, that might be the one thing that might be a little bit of controversy. But you arguably you have the best tight end on one side. You have the best, arguably in the running. Mm-hmm. He's in the top 10 of best wide receivers in A.J. Brown. You really do.
A.J. Brown had an Eagles season record this year, 1,496 receiving yards in his first year in the system.
Right.
It helped.
So you have two very dynamic offenses. Mm-hmm. The defenses, Chiefs defense knows how to ball out. They have a pass rush that has slowly gotten better and developed, which is kind of what their defensive coordinator's MO is. Yep. But then you look at the Eagles side. The Eagles started out hot.
Hot. I mean, that team looked unreal.
And they still do, but the butt that's there is you look at it and you go, okay. Suddenly, yeah, you knocked out two quarterbacks last week, but before that, you really weren't hitting a quarterback.
Yeah, which was weird because they lead it in sacks. Like that, you would think that would be more damage on that front.
Okay, you played the Redskins twice and the Giants twice.
Yeah.
And you played Dallas's backup quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. That was a game. Yeah.
So, okay, let's take away those games. Let's look at it. It gets a little spicy there.
It does.
Okay, we look at it, and so we go, okay, offenses, let's just say they're matched up evenly, because really they are. I'll give a slight nod to Patrick Mahomes because he's been there.
Okay, since you brought that up, my favorite statistic for this game, both teams are 14-3 in the regular season, 16-3 overall. They have both scored the same amount of points this year, 546. Same exact amount of points they scored. So these offenses, like, I think the Eagles started off high in the beginning, like you said, and the Chiefs were the second half team. But the fact that it's the same exact amount of points and you have a Kelsey on both sides, there's storylines here.
Well, okay. And then you look at it and you go, okay, the Chiefs have played the Broncos twice. Mm-hmm. They played the Raiders twice. Okay, you look at both those. You go, wait. The Raiders actually look scary in certain parts of the season. The Broncos defense was playing out of their mind.
Yeah, the Broncos defense is top 10 for sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at both those and go, okay. So, if you had to say which division's better, I'd probably lean toward the East.
Yeah, and NFC East this year had a way overachieving year.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we were doing our podcast with our division predictions, when we went to that AFC West, you and I were both like, oh, my God, how did we pick a winner in here?
Right. And that's been the one thing that's really been – really close. Yeah. So we look at it and go, okay, we're there.
Yep.
But, and then you look at who's got the better kicker.
I think Butker's probably a better kicker. Yeah, I think Butker too. Yep.
Chiefs have a better kicker overall. They've got a better special teams unit overall. The Eagles have a special teams unit. It's not at that level.
Sure.
Okay. So So if I'm making a pick, which I am, because I know we got to talk about some betting lines here.
Okay, so here we go. We're down to the last 9 minutes or so that Zoom will allow us. So we have the final two questions here for you. We're gonna do our who's gonna win and why, and our MVP, who wins that. But first, I want to give it to you, Austin. Who wins Super Bowl 57 and why? Take it away.
Well, we'll touch on some betting lines real quick. Betting lines right now, Chiefs are +1.5, which that's a very woo line.
Oh, my God, I know.
That's a tight line.
It's a very tight line.
And we all, like, sports betting, we normally don't talk about it, but we know last year, yours truly led you to $200 plus at least.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll take that and move on.
You know, yeah.
So FanDuel right now, that's who we used last year. That's who if you're going to make prop bets and everything else, that's who we'd say, hey, it's probably a great way to go about it. They've got some stuff where it's like no sweat first bet up to $3,000 back in bonus bets. All right. That's really good. Their parlays are looking really good. Probably the most interesting one that I see is Eagles to win, Kelsey 50-plus receiving yards, and Goddard 60-plus receiving yards. You also have Chiefs +4.5, over 45.5 points, under rushing yards, and +225 passing yards. But probably the one that I think you will like the most. I think you specifically would go for this one would be Eagles to win, mm-hmm. Sanders 50-plus yards, Mahomes 250-plus passing yards, Kelce anytime TD score, and Hurts anytime TD score. Yeah. I think you like that probably.
Yeah, I do. That's one I would pick, especially after a couple bourbons, for sure. I would definitely be putting my money down on that, for sure.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, I look at all this and go, all right. So, I look at it and go, all right.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, too.
Like, yeah.
Who am I taking to win?
I think... If you're putting a gun to my head, which I know you are, and I know we love doing it.
Yep.
I think I would go with the Chiefs in this game. I think the Chiefs in this game will pull it out. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lot closer. I think it wouldn't surprise me if it's a like last second field goal or something like that. It really wouldn't surprise me. I think the biggest thing about this game is going to be it's going to be the health of the quarterbacks.
Yep, I agree. If that ankle's okay, it's going to be a huge factor in this one.
Yeah, and I think that the Chiefs offensive line has held up great. I think if Patrick's ankle's fine, I think the Chiefs win this. And I think it's going to be more than 1.5 points.
I agree. And so I've done a lot of thinking about that too. So your official pick is the Chiefs. I've been back and forth on this because the Eagles have looked so dynamic throughout the year. But Mahomes has shown me one thing is that dude is a winner. Him and Andy Reid know how to get the job done. Coaching.
All I do is win, no matter what.
And with Andy Reid behind there, and they have just as many weapons. They don't have as many high profile weapons. If the Chiefs can find a way to keep A.J. Brown contained, don't let him get too many big plays. You can let Devontae Smith kind of run around a little bit and kind of get some big plays, but you can't let A.J. Brown take over. I don't know. The running game for Philly is going to be a big indicator on how this game's going. I think this is going to be, in terms of scoring an offense, a very entertaining Super Bowl. I really do. It's going to be good for ratings. It's going to be good for entertainment value. I am with you on this one. I every time I think about Philly winning, I think of, do I want to go against Mahomes? I mean, the last time they were in the Super Bowl, they got embarrassed by Mr. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Are they going to let that happen again this time? I don't think so. And I think he's had 2 weeks to heal that ankle. Him and Kelce get the job done. I'm going to take Kansas City in this game. It's going to be close. So I'm thinking like 31-27, something along those lines, 31-24, touchdown, even 31-30, 34-31, something like that. I can see that happening. Yeah, so I didn't think we were both going to take the Chiefs. I thought one of us was going to go fly Eagles fly, but I just can't not pick the Chiefs right now. As much as I hate Jackson Mahomes and I just don't want any success for that kid. If I had to put it down, I'd say Kansas City in this one.
So this is where I will throw this out there. The line I love the most in this game is if you can do a prop bet, which team is going to have the most rushing yards?
I'm going to say Kansas City and a shocker. I think Pacheco.
I think it's going to be the Eagles.
Yeah, Super Bowls have a way of going against them.
Remember
the Broncos offense? Okay, we're almost running out of time here.
But
who wins MVP?
Oh, you got to go Mahomes on this one. I think Mahomes is going to win. And then I think the best betting line for myself is going to be 10 the Tapman's Live line. The parlay is Chiefs to win. Paco over on the rushing yards. Mahomes over on the passing yards. And Travis Kelce anytime TD score. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's the thing with Kelce. Poor Kelce, because even if he has a huge game, he's the receiving end of Mahomes. Mahomes is going to get the MVP credit. That would be a great story. Dang, so we both picked Mahomes and the Chiefs to win. What is going on with how the season finished up?
I think you read my notepad before we started.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Bro, I got to tell you, man, it's been a one hell of a season. It seemed like just the other week when we're starting from week one in our early preseason predictions. We're going to be doing one after this, but I just appreciate everything throughout the way, you being flexible, willing to get on here and talk football with me, man, because who doesn't love talking football?
I know that, ladies and gentlemen, me and him are having some conversations behind the scenes about some stuff.
Yeah.
So we're going to be, you'll have some spiciness.
Add some spiciness. And then, we got that off season for that. So once again, I'm taking Chiefs. You're taking Chiefs. We're both picking Mahomes. You're picking Mahomes. Doesn't sound like we're being diverse, but we are. That's genuinely what we didn't pre-talk about this or anything. This is literally on the fly picks. And that's what I love about this. Most of the time we don't match up, but when we do, or is this going to be like the Eagles is coming out of nowhere and just shredding them? I just can't see it happen. I think the Chiefs get it done.
All right, so this is the one prop bet that I'm going to make you pick. And I've got something that we can put on it, too.
Okay.
Will Andy Reid get a Gatorade bath?
Yes, and a cheeseburger afterwards. He loves those burgers.
All right, I will take that, but I'm going to go no cheeseburger.
No cheeseburger. He's just straight bath, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if he gets a second ring, they're going to bathe him up. Believe me, there was nothing.
I will take. Well, so we're going that he's not. I'm going no cheeseburger. You're going cheeseburger.
Full double cheeseburger, baby. He's going double cheeseburger, double cheese, all the condiments.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I have a bottle of something very nice, and it will show up on the podcast next week.
All right.
For whoever wins.
Let's do it. Austin, we're down to our final minute. Appreciate you, bro. Any last parting shots going into Super Bowl that you want to say? The floor is yours for the next 30 seconds or so.
Love you, family. Love the time with everyone. Enjoy it. Cook some food. Enjoy it. And just have some fun watching idiotic but stupid but funny commercials. There you go.
Yeah, the commercials. And if you're at a party and you're not doing Super Bowl squares, you're missing out because that makes the whole evening fun. Play Super Bowl squares. It's very fun. Austin, love you, brother. Thank you again. We'll be on this. We'll be discussing post Super Bowl all the offseason. But for right now, we are signing off. Let's go, Super Bowl 57.
See ya.
See you on the other side. Until the next one, guys. See ya. Peace.